महर्षिभिः श्रुतं हि वर्णितं भूरि त्वया सीतापतिर्मुहौ. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Today is, according to the Vaishnava calendar, the auspicious day of the appearance of the eternal consort of Lord Ramchandra, the mother of the universe, Sita Devi. Sita Devi, who is the non-different expansion, the self-same personality of Sri Radharani, is the embodiment, the personification, and the source of all love. Of all bhakti. When we approach God, we always approach through His devotional energy. Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna, Sitaram. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashtasmitatvata. That you can only approach the absolute truth in its highest manifestation, Bhagwan, through bhakti. When we speak of bhakti, we are speaking of that mood of humility, devotion, and surrender. And ultimately Krishna says, sarva karana karanam, that He is the cause of all causes. Janmadyasha yataha, that everything emanates from Him. That means even bhakti, even the devotion that is required to approach Him, is coming from Him. And that devotion emanates from the Lord in the form of His very Self, which appears as a supreme embodiment of love. And that is Sita Devi, or Lakshmi Devi, or Sri Radharani. They are the self-same personality in different manifestations. This means, without the grace of Goddess Sita, it is impossible to gain the favor of Lord Ram. Without receiving her blessings, we cannot acquire the devotion which makes our service appealing to Lord Sri Ram. Therefore we find that Ramchandra, he is holding bows and arrows. Krishna is holding flute. This is Krishna's weapon. By playing the flute, Krishna charms our hearts. He attracts our minds. The sound of that flute destroys our chases away all demoniac desires from our heart. But we'll find that Sita Devi, she is generally seen offering her hand of blessing. Because without her blessing, no one can achieve the proper consciousness by which we can approach God. In fact, there is no difference between Sita and Ram. They are the same absolute truth, the same one person. But when that one truth divides into two for the sake of loving relationship. Ram is the supreme personality of Godhead, and Sita is the supreme personality of Godhead also, but in the role of the ultimate pleasure giver. Ram is the ultimate receiver of pleasure, and Sita is the ultimate giver of pleasure. Ram is the supreme enjoyer, and Sita is the supreme enjoyed. And they are eternally residing beyond this material world in Vaikuntha Loka. It is described in the Shastra that in this material creation that we are all now dwelling, there are 14 planetary systems, 7 lower planetary systems, and 7 higher planetary systems. For those with sinful karma, they are cast into various degrees of suffering in the lower 7 planets, systems. This earth planet is right in the middle. And for those with very pious karmic credit, they are elevated to incredible amounts of material enjoyment in the 7 higher planetary systems. But Krishna says in the Gita, Abhrama Bhuvana Loka Punaravartan Orjana Mamupeja Tukontiya Punar Janamana Vidyate, that from the highest planet where the greatest pleasure, where we could live for literally trillions of years and never have to see disease or old age, down to the lowest planet where we have to suffer incredibly, Krishna says they're all undesirable places. Because ultimately they are places where death is the final end of everything. Therefore, this material world is called Martya Loka. It is a place where potentially suffering could come upon anybody at any minute. Death can come into our life. Can come into the life of our loved ones at the most unexpected time. What to speak of pain and disease and failure. Therefore, samasita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomuradi says that wise people never make goals in this world. They make their goal the spiritual world. They do the best they can in this world in remembrance of God, in the service of God, but their goal is not this world. Because what is the use of making a goal in a place where you know everything's going to be stripped away at any moment? Gambling. Human life is so precious. Why should we gamble it? And beyond this material world, it is explained, is the river of the name Viraja, which is also called the Tatashta Shakti, which is just between material energy and spiritual energy. And beyond that Viraja is the Brahma Jyoti, which is the infinite, unlimited spiritual light of God, Brahman. The bodily rays of the Lord, like the rays of the sun, which the impersonalists strive to achieve. They call it the impersonal Brahman. And their desire is to merge into that impersonal Brahman, which is nothing but the light emanating, the spiritual, infinite light, eternal light of God. But within that Brahma Jyoti, the Shastra explains, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, which are not in any way, shape, or form affected by the conditions of material existence. There is no birth, old age, disease, and death. Everything is eternal, spiritual, satchit ananda, full of vibrancy. In fact, everything is ever increasing and growing. Nothing is ever decaying and dying, and at the same time, nothing is ever stagnant. I was recently told that one very, very famous philosopher, he makes joking remarks about the Vaikuntha planets. Why do you want to go to Vaikuntha? If you're sitting across from somebody in a train looking in their face, won't you get tired of them? You think you just go to Vaikuntha and you just sit there looking at God day and night? God will say, get out of here. I don't want to see your face anymore. What does this mean? That this poor, most unfortunate, misinformed soul, so unscrupulously misleading innocent minds, has absolutely no conception of spiritual life. Because in the Vaikuntha planets, according to the Shastra, everything is ever increasing, ever in growing, nothing becomes stagnant. The fact is, in Vaikuntha, there is infinite amounts of loving services to be offered to the Lord. But even if the Lord wanted to sit and look at you for all of eternity, He would constantly be more becoming at every second more beautiful, and you would be constantly becoming more beautiful to Him. In this way, you can just look at each other for the rest of eternity and just enjoy the ultimate ecstasies of ever-increasing love. But the fact in bhakti, bhakti means devotional service. When you love someone, you don't simply want to sit and look at them. You want to please them. Therefore, there are infinite varieties of ways that the Lord allows you to serve Him in the Vaikuntha planets. And in one of these particular Vaikuntha planets, the eternal manifestation of the Supreme Absolute Truth appears in the form of Ram and is living there with His eternal consort Sita. And great personalities like Angada, Hanuman, Vibhishan, even Dasarath. In Vaikuntha, he never dies. When he comes to this world, even he has to die. But in Vaikuntha, all of these wonderful associates are eternally residing. And by hearing and chanting the glories of Sitaram, by getting the priceless blessings of Goddess Sita, we can enter into that Vaikuntha planet of Ayodhya at the time of leaving this body. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having mercy, having pity on the conditioned souls who live in this material world due to their ungrateful and foolish consciousness of forgetfulness of Him, trying to enjoy independent of the Lord's will, trying to be the Lord of all we survey, trying to be the Lord of our household, or the Lord of something or other, whatever we possess, we want to be the master and enjoyer of that. In this way, we subject ourselves to just endless varieties of ways that we can suffer in this world. Therefore, the Lord appears in this world. He descends from the Vaikuntha planets just to reveal his divine pastimes and to attract our hearts and minds back to him. When Ramchandra appeared in this world along with Mother Sita, this was their ultimate purpose. It is true that the demigods prayed to Lord Narayan through their Gurudev Brahma, please come down and kill Ravana. But Vishnu could have killed Ravana through so many ways. He factually did not have to come. In fact, there was a king of the name Kartavirya-juna, and he had a fight with Ravana, and he defeated Ravana just like someone captures a monkey, and then he just let him go. And Parasaram, that great incarnation of God, had killed Kartavirya-juna effortlessly. So the Lord didn't have to come to kill Ravana. But he used that as an excuse to show how much he loves his devotees and to reveal his wonderful divine pastimes. So just as Lord Sri Ramchandra appeared in Ayodhya Dham on the afternoon of Ram Navami, Sita appeared on this very day in the holy land of Mithila. The eternal pleasure potency, that divine and all-attractive manifestation of Sri Radharani, appeared. And how she appeared is a beautiful story. It is explained that there was a great drought in Mithila. There was no rain. And when there's no rain, the earth becomes very dry and very hard. And therefore nothing can grow in dry, hard earth. At that time, the king of Mithila was Maharaj Janak. And although, as the king, he was being supplied whatever he required, but his citizens, they were starving. And his concern was not for himself. His concern was for all other living beings. The king is supposed to be the father of everyone in the kingdom. And just like we see a father in a home, if a father has some daughters and sons, young children, they're dependent on him. It's not that he just eats food and forget about them. No. Actually, if you're not married, you can be lazy like me. You don't have to do any work. You never see me out working. I just sit around talking all day. I'm useless. But this is an opulence you have when you don't marry. But when you marry, you have children. And when you have children, then you're obliged. You have to feed them. A father's not working for himself. He's working for his wife and his children and everything else that comes along with a wife and children. Because he feels responsible out of love. That they're depending on me. A good king, this is the way he feels toward every citizen. That if my children are starving, if they are not getting food, that's my problem. And King Janak decided, what do we have to do to bring rain? So he consulted the Brahmins. Because great kings, they would do nothing without consulting great saintly persons. Because they knew that they're responsible for their citizens, and if they want to do the right thing for their citizens, it has to be in harmony with the will of God. Today we find throughout the world politicians, through their own fertile brains, they vote amongst themselves on what kind of laws they're going to pass. And sometimes the laws are endorsing terrible, sinful activity which is incriminating their innocent children, the citizens, in hellish consequences. Therefore, a good king, he doesn't have a senate that votes on what laws to pass. He consults the Brahmins. He consults the pure devotees of God, the saintly persons who have surrendered everything for the benefit of others. And what they say, he'll do, because he knows that's what's really for the interest of everyone. So the Brahmins, they told King Janak that as the king, on behalf of all the citizens, you have to perform a yajna. And it will not be an easy one. This Mithila Dham is a big, big kingdom. You have to circumambulate the entire Mithila Dham, and you have to do it like a simple farmer. Take off your crown and put on your dhoti, or your lungi, or gamsha, whatever farmers wear. But they took two of the most qualified Brahmins who acted as oxen. And then they put the yoke around them. And they put a plow behind that, and King Janak was supposed to be the plowsman. Now, as you know, generally Brahmins, they are not strong. They are usually very lean and thin and intellectual. But anyways, it was the sacrifice that they were all making for the sake of the suffering humanity. And King Janak, he was the one that had to pull and push that plow. And you know what it's like to plow land that is hard as a rock due to being so dry? There hasn't been rain for long, long, long periods of time. Anyways, King Janak immediately accepted this service on behalf of his citizens. And they began to plow. And as they were plowing, and plowing, and plowing, and plowing, on this very day, as the earth turned over, a beautiful, beautiful, effulgent little baby girl came out of the earth from under that hard plow. She had a wonderful golden complexion, lotus eyes, every limb was so soft and so attractive. And her smile had the power to charm all living entities. She was the very embodiment of all love. She was the very essence of all purity and devotion. She was the very source of all mercy. And she came out of the hard, dry earth under the steel plow of King Janak. Of course, we must understand that this story is history. It is the Leela of the Lord. But the Lord performs His Leela and fulfills many purposes. One is that there's something to learn. Just like Krishna was born in the prison, Srimati Radharani was born blind, deaf, and dumb. Sita was born out of the hardest, most terribly dry earth during drought. So let us examine this wonderful Leela that took place today.
Sita's appearance.
Our hearts, when they are devoid of bhakti, they become dry and hard. And without Krishna consciousness, without the presence of the grace of Sita or Radha in our life, spiritually we are in a condition of great drought. And through the process, just like our heart right now, it's very hard because of material desires and because of forgetfulness of God. And therefore, the seed of bhakti is not growing properly. Therefore, our hearts must be plowed. And how is it plowed? It is plowed by the mercy of the spiritual master. When he gives us instructions, when he tells us how to chant the holy name of the Lord, to follow various regulative principles, when he gives us assignments that are sometimes very difficult, the order of the guru is like the plow that is meant to soften our heart. And besides the spiritual master, Krishna himself puts our life through so many difficult circumstances. And if we're willing to bear those circumstances with faith, devotion, and loyalty to Krishna, it is like Maharaj Janak. However hard it was to plow that earth, he continued on because it was his service to God. And if we're willing to do that, then from this dry, hard heart of ours, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, bhakti takes birth within this heart. Sita is none other than Bhakti Rupa. She is bhakti personified. And as soon as she appeared, luxurious rains began to shower from the sky. Immediately upon the awakening of bhakti in our heart, all prosperity, not necessarily material prosperity, but joy, bliss, everything to celebrate for, awakens within our life. In this way, Mithila Dham began to rejoice. The rains were falling, the crops were instantly growing. When Sita appeared, immediately just flowers and fruits and vegetables and grains just started just pouring out of the earth. It was a miraculous spectacle for all the residents of Mithila Dham. And they had wonderful celebration for the appearance of Mother Sita. In the same way, we must understand that it is a very difficult task to purify our hearts. But we have to keep that plow. We have to keep the regulative principles. We have to keep associating with devotees. We have to keep praying to the Lord and chanting His names and hearing the Bhagavat, Ramayana, Bhagavad Gita. No matter how difficult it is, we have to continue on. It's difficult only for one reason, because our hearts are so hard and dry. If we had bhakti, it would be blissful. There would be no difficulty. We would be naturally, spontaneously attracted to the regulative principles of spiritual life. But like King Janak, we have to continue no matter how difficult it is. And through that process, bhakti
Sita is born.
And then all the spiritual prosperity that the heart is longing for is immediately experienced. When Sita Devi appeared, of course we could speak for a long time about the wonderful activities of Goddess Sita. But I would like to explain one very sad story that is so representative of what the quality of pure devotion is. Sita's nature is she only has one concern, and that is the pleasure of Ram. She thinks and cares nothing for herself. When Ram was going to be banished to the forest for 14 years, Sita was asked to stay home in the beautiful kingdom of Ayodhya. But she said, no. If I'm not at the side of my Lord, Sri Ram, to serve him and to make his life comfortable, I care not to live even one breath longer. Therefore, she chose, by her own free will, to put on the bark of a tree as clothing and with bare foot to traverse the jungles where there were scorpions, snakes, mosquitoes, tigers, lions, elephants, dacoits, severe winters, severe hot summers, no shelter, no servants, no food except what you dig out of the ground with your own hands or pick from the trees. If I can be by the side of my Lord to make him comfortable, that's where I want to be. And after she was kidnapped by Ravana, Ravana offered Sita Devi to be the topmost queen of all of Sri Lanka, the most opulent golden kingdom on earth. He said, you accept this and you will enjoy the most unbelievable opulence, and everyone in this kingdom will be your servant. And if you reject it, I will torture you, blaspheme you, and ultimately I will limb by limb cut you to pieces and eat your flesh and drink your blood. Now, if you had that choice of the greatest luxurious opportunity for sense gratification in all the world, or torture and death, which would you take? Which would you take? Sita accepted that my Lord is Ram, and he will not be pleased if I serve any other man. But he will be pleased if I'm willing to be tortured, blasphemed, killed, and eaten, if it shows my chastity and love for him. This is the quality of Sita's love. But do you think that Sita had to prove her love to Ram? No. Sita had to show us what love means so that we could follow in those footprints, so that we can have such devotion to our spiritual master in Krishna. Spiritual master means Krishna's representative. You see, in Vaikuntha, Sita doesn't go through these difficulties. There's no Ravanas in Vaikuntha. And there's no banishments to forests in Vaikuntha. Because everyone is already a pure devotee of the highest intimate order of ecstatic love. But when Sita comes to this world, she goes through all these terrible, torturous conditions just to show us what it means to be a devotee. A true devotee. And even after almost one full year of being harassed and tortured and threatened by Ravana, and she remained completely loyal, faithful, chaste, completely fixing her mind in the thought of Ram and chanting his name under all circumstances. Such a devotee. After all that, when the kingdom of Lanka was destroyed by Ram and his monkey friends, Ram looked at Sita, and then he looked at Lakshman, and he said, "Lakshman, I can have nothing to do with this woman anymore because she has been touched by Ravana. How do I know whether she's actually chaste?" Ram knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. Veda ham samatitani varatamanani chaujana bhavashani chabhuteni mantu vedana kashchana. The Lord says, I know everything past, present, and future. I know all living beings. I'm in everyone's heart. Do you think there's any question that Ram doubted Sita's chastity? Now, if it was you, and you went through all this torture, you left the kingdom of Ayodhya to live for 13 full years in the jungles, in tree bark, just for your beloved, and then you're offered the whole world at your feet and you're rejected on behalf of your beloved, and you're harassed and you're chastised and you're threatened and you're about to be eaten and killed for your beloved, you expect your beloved to say, "Oh, you are wonderful." We would expect it. Sita did not expect that. She only expected service. Ram wanted to further show her greatness. After all that, he chastised her. And he rejected her. And Lakshman, he was heartbroken to hear Ram speaking like this. "This is my beloved Sita. We fought this incredible, terrible war just to bring her back to Ram, and now he doesn't even want her. Why did you make us fight this war? Millions of people were killed just to bring her back to you, and now you don't want Sita. Sita. She's the embodiment and the essence of chastity and purity of love for God. How could you question her?" Lakshman was thinking like this. Sita said, "I will prove my chastity to Ram. I will enter into blazing fire. And I vow that if I in any way, for this whole year, even for one second thought of anything but love and devotion to you, if even for one second my mind even considered doing anything but your loyal service, then I will burn in this fire. And if my mind has been totally pure and completely faithful to you for this whole year, there's nothing this fire can do to even touch one part of my body." And then Sita said to Lakshman, "Go get wood and start a fire." Starting a fire to burn Sita? And he was thinking, "Ram is not going to let me do this." And he turned to Ram. He said, "Ram," he was the younger brother, he had to be obedient. He never argued. What I'm saying is what the Acharya said he was thinking. But he never questioned Ram. He would just do whatever he said. But he looked at Ram with tears in his eyes. His heart was breaking. Like, "Ram, do I have to do this?" Ram says,
do it.
So Lakshman, with tears and flowing from his beautiful lotus eyes, he was just going to the forest and gathering these big logs of wood, and then he started them on fire. He escorted Sita to enter into the fire. And when she entered into the fire, Agnidev, the Lord of the Fire, appeared and testified that Sita is perfectly chaste and pure, and the loyalty of her bhakti has never deviated for a second. And then Ram took her back to Ayodhya. And then you know the story of how Ram was such a king that he would disguise himself as an ordinary being just to hear what the common people were saying about him so that he could improve himself. Today, government sends spies, and if somebody speaks against them, they assassinate those people or put them in jail. Right? That's politics today. But Ram was different. He would actually be a spy himself, and anybody who said anything against him, he just took that as an opportunity so that he could improve his character. Huh? Such a supreme personality. Anyways, there was one husband and wife who were having a fight. In their house. They were just having a fight. Just common people. You know how husbands and wives, they have fights. And God knows what they say to each other when they have fights. They usually, it's not that they say what's in their hearts. They say whatever it takes to hurt the person at the time being. And then later on they say, it's all right, Haribo. Right? In India it's like that. In America they get divorced. But here they say, listen, you know, we have to stick it out together, so we might as well forgive each other, right? Yes, Haribo. But of course, if you're devotees, you just say, listen, it's true, you have said this, I have said this, but for Krishna we should chant Hare Krishna and have nice kirtan together and forget all these nonsense things. Huh? That's called Krishna consciousness. You put Krishna first, and our differences, they have no significance if Krishna's first in our life. Anyways, this man, he said to his wife, get out of this house. You think I'm going to take you back? He was thinking that she was with some other man. He said, you think I'm so crazy like Ram that I'm going to take a woman that's been with someone else? Ram heard this. He said, I love Sita more than I love my life. But my duty is to protect these citizens, and to show them a perfect example by which they will become pure devotees of God. And if people are doubting my relationship with Sita, and that's disturbing their faith in me, Sita must go. It was more painful to Ram than it was for Sita. But the great acharyas, they explain how Ram sent Sita away. He didn't tell her anything. He told Lakshman. Poor Lakshman. He was such a devotee. Ram said, Sita will be banished to the forest for the rest of her life. I'll never see her again. Now, Lakshman's entire existence was just to give pleasurable arrangements for Sita and Ram to enjoy. That was his whole life. He knew that Sita was the supreme object of all Ram's love, and how Ram was the supreme object of all Sita's love. And he simply wanted to somehow assist in their loving exchanges in whatever way possible. Ram said, you tell Sita Devi that you're going to take her on a holiday, a vacation, to visit the beautiful ashram of Valmiki Muni. And when you arrive at the ashram, then you tell her that she has to stay there for the rest of her life. She can never come back to Ayodhya. But don't tell her until you get there, because she won't go. It will be too difficult for her to go, and I don't want to see her tears. So Lakshman, he had to do this. He said, Sita, you tried to make it look like a real joyful vacation. Sita, Ram wants you to go on a nice vacation. He knows how much you love to see the great saints and sages. You're going to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. She said, oh, how wonderful. So nice. Let us go, Lakshman. Lakshman was driving the chariot. He was silent. His heart was breaking. At every moment, every second, it was breaking more and more and more as they were going farther and farther and farther from Ayodhya Dham. And when they were approaching the ashram of Valmiki Muni, he just burst into bitter tears of agony. And Sita looked at him. And by seeing his crying, she was very intelligent. She could understand. She said, Lakshman, this is just a vacation. Vacation is a time to be happy. Why you are weeping? Why you are crying? Lakshman had to tell Sita that you will never be allowed to see your beloved Ram again until you leave this world and return to Vaikuntha. You have been banished for life. Do you know what Sita did when she heard this? With folded palms and a thoroughly grateful heart. It was a broken heart. There were tears like the rivers Ganges and Jamuna flowing from her lotus-like eyes. But she said to Lakshman, if this is the way my Lord Ram wants me to serve him, then this is where I want to be. If my Lord does not, if I can best assist him in his service by suffering the bitter pangs of separation for my whole life, then I will accept this as my life and soul. My only purpose in life is to give pleasure to my Lord and to assist him in his mercy to all living beings. She didn't complain, she didn't criticize, she gratefully accepted a life of banishment. This is the perfection of bhakti. This is the example that Mother Sita has given all of us of what it means to love God. Ashvasyava padra pandamastamam adarshanam maramahatam korotiya.
yatha vidata vidatatu mattato matranatastu eva naparaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood, in the bhava of Sri Radharani, who is none other than Sita Devi, he prayed in this way. My dear Lord, if you want, you can embrace me. If you want, you can trample on me. If you want, you can make me brokenhearted by thoroughly neglecting me and banishing me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am meant for your pleasure. And I am your servant unconditionally. A devotee cares nothing for material enjoyment. A devotee cares nothing for mystic siddhis by which we can impress millions of people by performing miracles and wonderful, extraordinary feats. A devotee cares nothing for merging into the Brahma Jyoti, becoming one with the Absolute Truth in that sense, and becoming liberated. Cares nothing for mukti. A devotee doesn't even care to be promoted to Vaikuntha, to enjoy eternally with the Lord. But a true devotee simply wants to give pleasure to the Lord under any circumstance, unconditionally. If our enduring pain on behalf of God gives him pleasure, that should be our greatest pleasure. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed like this, that my dear Lord, the pains and sufferings that I endure on your behalf in your service are the greatest source of pleasure in my life. Because it is at that time when I can show most that I am surrendered only for your sake, for your service. Devotees don't care to become Babaji's, just enjoying the holy Dham for the rest of their life. A devotee simply, whatever Guru and Krishna wants me to do. We even put our own spiritual advancement second to what gives pleasure to Krishna. That is real bhakti. That is what has been taught by Sita Devi by her example. As I have said before, she has no need to prove her love for Ram. Her need is to show what love is for our sake. We may not be able to imitate her, but we should make this the goal of our life. We should strive for this, putting aside all selfish concerns for the loving service of the Lord. It was for this purpose that Sita appeared on this day, to show the pure divinity of spiritual love. And those who aspire to spread the glories of that pure bhakti, which is her very essence, and those who are willing to make sacrifices for the upliftment of other living beings, even at the sacrifice of their own comforts in life, they are the ones that receive the supreme blessings of Sita Devi. Because they are the ones who are appreciating and what she has done in her service to Ram. To appreciate means not to say jai. To appreciate means to imbibe. To absorb that example and live for it and die for it. There is no greater pleasure to Krishna than when we chant the names of Sri Radha. And there is no greater pleasure to Radha than when we chant the names of Krishna. There is no greater pleasure for Sita than when we chant the name of Ram, and there is no greater pleasure to Ram than when we chant the name Sita. It is for this reason that this Maha Mantra is considered the most perfect means of getting the grace of the Lord. Hare is the name of Radha. Hare is also the name of Sita, depending on your particular bhava. When we chant the name Hare with a sincere and humble heart, Krishna bestows his supreme blessings upon us because we are glorifying his most beloved life and soul, Radharani. And when we chant the name Krishna and Rama, then Sri Radharani, she bestows her infinite blessings upon us because we are glorifying her beloved Lord Krishna. So in this way, by congregationally coming together to chant this beautiful Maha Mantra, in this spirit of bhakti that we are aspiring for, this is the Yuga Dharma. This chanting of the holy name is the means of softening our heart and bringing about the appearance of pure bhakti from within. And when we chant together, inspiring and enlivening one another, there is no greater means than attracting the mercy of Sita and Ram. So at this time, Kardama Muni will translate, and then we will have nice kirtan of the holy name. This is a very important point, but I'll say it after he translates. When Lakshman was on that chariot, driving Sita to Valmiki's ashram, he was meditating. Why I have to do this? Why I had to make a funeral pyre for Sita to sit in? What to speak of when Ram went to hunt that golden deer? Sita, I was asked to guard her. And Sita told me, you go save Ram. You go. Ram said, no. I mean, Lakshman said, no, Ram has ordered me. I'm supposed to stay here. And she accused him out of her love for Ram. She thought he was in danger. She accused him that you want Ram to die so that you can enjoy with me. You know, the terrible arrow that was to his heart? And he knew he couldn't leave Sita. He knew if he left her, some Rakshasa would take her away. But he had to do it, because his master, an older brother's wife, told him he had to. And then he had to put her on the funeral pyre, build it, and now he was taking her, all in the order of Ram. He was thinking, as Ram's younger brother, I have to obey everything he says. Therefore, he made a vow that next time I'm going to incarnate as his older brother. I'm not going to do this anymore. And the next time he came as Balaram. And as Balaram, he had the priority of older brother. He was totally surrendered to Krishna, but he had the priority to do as he liked sometimes. Just like Balaram was on the side of Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was a very nice pupil to Balaram. And when Krishna decided to be Arjuna's charioteer, he knew that Krishna wanted him on his side, so he just decided to go on pilgrimage. He was the younger brother, he would have had to have been like that. But as younger, older brother, he didn't disobey Krishna. He said, Krishna, I'm going on pilgrimage. And Krishna, because he was older brother, Krishna said, yes, whatever you say. So now let us celebrate this glorious event by chanting the holy names. Please stand up.